Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's time for Below Grade Level. Let's talk about our crushes and have some fun.
Hello and welcome to Below Grade Level, the show where we take the books that we read as kids and read them as adults and ruin them. I'm one of your hosts, Jonathan Eaton. With me as always is Becca Eaton.
Hello.
And Chris Dolesky.
Hello.
How's everybody doing today?
I'm all right.
Good.
I'm tired and coffee.
Yeah. Becca's still getting over a sickness.
Two sicknesses. Double sickness.
Stacked on top of each other. You sound a million times better than you did 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true.
But anyway, it's just us today. No guests.
The listener's going on a journey with you.
They are. The listener's like, boy, I hope you feel better soon. Sure hope so.
Thanks, listener.
Becca.
Yes.
Since the thing that you want to do most right now is talk, can you tell us what happened last time on Sweet Valley High, Fire with Fire?
And can you preface that with that we are not forcing you to do this?
Yeah. Of my own free will, I will tell you that I only took 3 notes last time.
Oh my God.
The first note I took is hilarious. Steven makes Lila throw a soda can to prove she's not the arsonist.
Yes, that part was awesome.
Devin is going to stay at Nana's house. She said she wasn't able to contact him before now, but won't say why. Mm-hmm. And we hypothesize the parents had a restraining order or something like that.
They just didn't want, yeah.
And Elizabeth wrote a fake letter from Lila to Steven and Jessica.
Yes.
Oh, wait, no, sorry. I don't know what my handwriting was doing last time, and I'm having trouble reading my own handwriting. Elizabeth wrote a fake letter from Lila to Steven.
Mm-hmm.
And Jessica manipulated Lila at a soda shop.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Which was really fucked up. She, like, made her...
Made her, like, a scrapbook. Yeah.
I don't...
These all sound like Vampire Weekend lyrics.
Oh, my God. It does.
Wow. It really does.
They definitely have a lyric about a soda shop somewhere.
Yeah. I guess like not a lot happened, but them throwing the soda can was hilarious. That was like one of the funniest parts of this whole book so far.
And I feel like that is really setting Steven and Lila up for failure. Or Steven is really setting Lila up for failure.
Uh-huh.
Because it's like the OJ thing and the glove.
Yeah.
Like, that should be something he springs on her in court to show that it really is like organic and not planned.
If the can won't hit, you must acquit.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, like now they've done it beforehand and now she knows she has to throw the can like a weenie.
Yeah.
Like she might not be capable of throwing it further, but now he knows that she knows and...
Or she might try too hard next time and actually throw it like in front of a jury.
Or they'll know that she's aware, so might think she's faking it.
Yeah.
I just feel like that was such a terrible, terrible idea.
Well, and like as I far as like, the reader knows, like she intern, isn't so. The arsonist, right?
Yeah, I don't think she is.
I don't think she is either.
But would it be fucking crazy if she was? That would be
I would wild. Love that, actually. I would love
or
that.
Or like maybe it was revealed in the last book that she actually did it. And we're just, like, missing out on a lot of it. We're just like, none of this makes sense.
I feel like if it was, if they told you who did it in the last book, they wouldn't still be going, like, who did it? Because they let you in on what they're thinking, specifically.
Like, we still haven't met this reporter guy that he thinks it is just because he likes the same kind of soda.
Oh, right. John Pfeiffer, Jingleheimer Schmidt. that's my name, too. All right, well, let's find out what happens. On Sweet Valley High, Fight Fire with Fire, Chapter 7.
Wait, Chapter 7?
Yeah.
We are not far in this.
No, we're like halfway through.
Almost halfway.
Yeah.
Oh.
And we've read like two things.
We've read 2 chapters per episode so far.
And like 2 things have happened.
Yes.
I forgot to write down that we read Chapter 6. Okay. I am so sorry.
That's all right. Elizabeth sighed contentedly and cuddled closer to Todd.
Oh, Todd hasn't even shown up in this book.
I know. They were sitting on the couch in the Wakefields' den with their history notebooks open on their laps, but Elizabeth's mind wasn't on studying, if you know what I mean. She turned slightly to look up in Todd's coffee-colored eyes. What a poetic way of saying brown. And her notebook tumbled to the floor. Todd leaned over her and reached for the floor to pick up her notes. But Elizabeth...
And he was like, whoopsie, and grazed her boobs.
He was like, whammy. But Elizabeth playfully pushed him back in his seat and planted a big kiss on his lips.
What?
Forget the notebook.
How forward?
Elizabeth said, running her fingers through Todd's curly brown hair. You could say brown that time.
Well, my basement's flooded.
She nuzzled... Well, just wait, Chris. She nuzzled his neck and traced a trail of kisses across his cheek.
People do that?
We have more important things to do. I'm sorry, Todd said, his eyes dancing. I must be in the wrong house. What?
Is he having a seizure?
I'm sorry. Oh, no.
Either that or you're an imposter and you've kidnapped the real Elizabeth Wakefield. I'm not allowed to skip studying for some quality cuddling time with the guy I love.
The real Elizabeth would never kiss me.
Elizabeth asked in mock indignation. She sat up and crossed her arms in front of her chest. Todd laughed and pulled her to him. You're right, he said huskily. Who am I to judge?
Huskily. You're right.
He wrapped her up in his strong arms, and Elizabeth lost herself in a long, passionate kiss. When they parted,
you're right, he said in a way that sounded like he's been eating too many nachos lately.
When they parted, she let out a spontaneous giggle. What's got you in such a good mood, Wakefield? Todd asked, reaching over to brush a strand of blonde hair behind her ear. Stephen and Lila, Elizabeth said with a smile. Your brother's name's the grossest first thing you could have said.
Sure is.
Stephen and Lila, Todd repeated, his brow furrowing. I thought you were hoping they would break up. That's just it, Elizabeth said happily. I think they're finally realizing how wrong they are for each other. Those letters were a stroke of genius. Todd, I hope Todd breaks up with her over this.
Yeah. Also, I had a quick question.
Yes.
Have you ever had a boyfriend that called you by your last name?
No.
It doesn't to that be fair, seem...
Well... I didn't have, like, my maiden name doesn't really roll off the tongue. Like, no one called me that.
Yeah.
I feel like Eaton, like, that's a name you could call someone and be like, hey, Eaton. But yeah. Also, yeah, with someone you're dating.
It seems like it's a thing that, it's like a thing you say to a chum.
Yeah, it's the very bro thing.
It's like a bro thing.
I get called Z a lot.
Yeah.
And I don't remember who started it, but I'm just like, cool. That's a cool nickname.
It's like a cool nickname. It's like chummy bro thing, but it's not like if I had a girlfriend in high school,
yeah,
I would call her by her last name. That just feels, I don't know.
Yeah.
Almost too informal.
Yes. Like, he should be calling her Liz.
Yeah.
Like Jessica does.
Yeah.
Elizabeth stopped abruptly and felt her face flame red. She hadn't intended to tell Todd about the little scheme she and Jessica cooked up.
Uh-oh.
Oh, you better get good at lying real fast, Elizabeth.
Babe? What letters? Todd asked lightly. He trailed a finger down Elizabeth's burning cheek. Nothing, Elizabeth stammered. This was one of the rare times she wished she was more like Jessica. Maintaining a poker face was not one of Elizabeth's special talents. Where were we? She improvised.
You read that
pulling
like me.
Todd in normally. For another kiss. This time, when they parted, it was Todd's turn to laugh. What's eating you, Liz? He asked. You look like you just killed your best friend. But what do you mean?
Why Elizabeth would that exclaimed. Be the thing you say?
Right?
Not like you look like you're hiding something.
Yeah, you look nervous.
You look like you killed a person.
You look like you've seen a ghost. Say something like a normal person would say.
Yeah.
We have these turns of phrase for a reason. They serve a purpose.
Not when you're trying to make a word count.
Hey, it's just a figure of speech, Todd said, holding his hands up in surrender. You just seem a little distracted all of a sudden.
It's super not.
I'm fine, Elizabeth squeaked. We should really start studying. She leaned over and quickly grabbed her notebook from the floor. Ditto sheets fluttered out, scattering in all directions.
Ditto sheets. Wow.
Todd's eyes narrowed with suspicion. Come on, Elizabeth, he said, taking her hand. What's going on? Does this have something to do with Stephen and Lila? Obviously. You mentioned something about letters. Ellipses. Elizabeth let out a long, defeated sigh and stared at their entwined figures.
Oh, hang on, I got that. Oh, sorry, Alfie. Uh-huh. I woke up the cat.
Todd knew her too well. She just hoped he wouldn't be too disappointed in her when he found out what she and Jessica had done.
You're going to think I'm horrible, Elizabeth began, but we did it for Stephen's own good.
Did what for Stephen's own good?
Todd asked, eyeing her warily. And who's we? Jessica and me, Elizabeth said quietly. We
sort of forged some letters. One from Lila to Stephen and one from Stephen to Lila.
What did these sort of forged letters say?
Todd asked, disentangling his fingers from hers. Uh-oh. The pulling away begins. Elizabeth could tell Todd was already stunned. After all, forging was as bad as lying, and lying wasn't something Elizabeth did very often, but sometimes. She might as well just tell him everything. They were intended to scare both of them off, Elizabeth said, launching ahead bravely. Stephen's letter to Lila was all about how great a wife she would make, taking care of tons of children and looking after a tiny house. Lila's letter to Stephen was all about how she would introduce him to all the right people and make sure he was a famous lawyer. Which, that one doesn't sound bad. What's the bad part of that?
Because Stephen's an idiot.
Okay.
He has principles.
Todd's...
an idiot with principles.
What an idiot. Todd's eyes widened in disbelief. Needless to say, they were both a little freaked out, Elizabeth finished. She looked up Todd hopefully, but he seemed totally appalled.
Elizabeth, what were you thinking? Todd asked. Did Jessica blackmail you into doing this or something? That seems like something she would do. Blackmail? That's right up her alley.
His immediate thought was, oh, your evil twin blackmailed you into doing something terrible.
Also, what could she blackmail her with? She hasn't done anything shitty until now that I'm aware of.
Didn't I, like...
It seems more like she would get her to do it at knife point or something.
Yeah. Didn't... Am I wrong? Didn't Jessica blackmail her before? Or... There was something where she, like, found a letter.
Sounds like something she would do.
There's always a lot of letters in these early 90s books.
Yeah. It just
that people just believed
Elizabeth has done anything to be blackmailed about.
Like, someone took the time to type this up. Clearly, it's real.
On computer paper and everything.
Yeah, it's physical. I can touch it.
Suddenly, Elizabeth felt defensive. What she had done was a little sneaky, but she had done it for Stephen's happiness. She hadn't expected Todd to be proud of her, but he could at least try to see that her intentions were good. We were afraid that they wouldn't see how wrong they were for each other until it was too late, Elizabeth said earnestly.
That's not for you to decide.
Somebody had to do something.
Like that.
No, it's...
I know.
This isn't like you, Elizabeth, Todd said. How would you feel if somebody pulled this on us? Elizabeth took one look into Todd's soulful, confused eyes and her heart turned. Pretty lousy, she admitted after a moment. But Todd, if those letters don't work, I can't promise you I won't try something else. I'm really worried about Stephen. Jesus.
Why?
I didn't think that's where she was going with it. Like, yeah. If those letters are, those stupid letters are good enough to work, then they shouldn't be together. That would never work on us.
Then we'll
that's what I expected.
Yeah.
Not like, I'm going to try harder.
I'm going to double down.
Yeah.
And think of something worse.
Well, that's why I was thinking,
what could possibly happen to
maybe
Stephen?
Maybe she knows.
They'll break up later?
I don't know.
Maybe she knows what's-her-face is the arsonist.
She doesn't know.
No one knows, Chris.
I hope someone does eventually.
I do hope we find out.
Is this the last book or the middle book?
What
if we don't find out about who the fucking arsonist is?
Oh, we'll look it up.
Okay.
Or
we'll
what?
We'll have to let the listener know.
Richie Rich's deal is...
Huh?
Devin Whiteclaw.
Oh, the other Devin character. Whiteclaw. Yeah.
But he's not, he's only just arrived in Sweet Valley. He had nothing to do with the arson. I still have no idea what his storyline is about.
I don't know.
Unless he becomes
How did his parents die?
I think he killed them.
I don't remember.
What if their house burned down? I don't remember how they died.
I don't remember how they died either.
It might have been like car crash or lost at sea bullshit.
Or like a mountain climbing accident. That's something that rich people die of.
Mountains.
Mountain climbing.
Why isn't it in the notes?
My notes?
Yeah.
It's probably somewhere. It might be. I don't feel like flipping.
We can't go back, Chris.
It's his life, Liz, Todd said, standing abruptly. He looked down at her as she sat stunned on the couch. It's not your place to play games with it. Todd, wait, Elizabeth called as he snatched up his notebooks and backpack and stomped out of the room. Why are you getting so mad? She followed him out to the front door. I don't know, Todd said.
I do, Todd.
Really? Turning to face her. He fixed her with a steely gaze. It's just sometimes you do things that make me wonder if I really know you at all. Oh, like, wow. What else?
Elizabeth gasped and pulled back as if she'd been slapped. Todd, don't you understand? Lila has already cost Stephen his job and maybe even his career.
Lila didn't be cost heading Stephen for disaster his job. If they Stephen stayed together. Cost Stephen his job. Sorry, I talked over you, but I'm just mad about all of this.
Please try to understand. Todd's eyes softened slightly, as if a golden retriever had turned into a human, and he leaned forward to give Elizabeth a light kiss on her forehead. A lot of sloppy tongue. I know you're doing what you think is
on
best.
Her forehead.
Yeah, like a dog. Because he's like a golden retriever.
Oh, yeah.
I get it.
Todd said, leaning back and looking into her eyes, I just want you to be careful, or you may end up hurting more people than you help. Lying has a way of doing that, you know. I know, Elizabeth murmured.
So wise, Todd.
But let me worry about that. She stood on her tiptoes and kissed Todd quickly on the cheek. I'll call you later, but think about what I said, Todd warned. As he turned to go, Dad. Elizabeth touched the back of Todd's neck gently, then closed the door behind him.
Like, he was like, ooh, what is that?
Don't turn around. Just give me that sweet, sweet back of neck action. You may end up hurting more people than you help. You may end up hurting more people than you help. Todd's words echoed in Elizabeth's mind as she walked slowly up the stairs. Elizabeth would normally agree with him that lying wasn't worth the trouble it caused, but she couldn't see how anyone would get hurt by what she and Jessica had done.
Wow.
Dumb bitch.
You're smart. You're supposed to be the smart
right?
one.
And empathetic.
Lila and
Steven. You're supposed to be the good twin.
Yeah.
Hadn't been together for very long, so they probably wouldn't even go through much post-breakup withdrawal.
What? They would both be better off in the end. They have to be. Elizabeth stopped at the top of the stairs. She could hear scuffing sounds coming from the end of the hall. Stephen had been playing Nerf basketball all morning.
Is that real?
And she couldn't believe he was still at it. Yes.
Is that in the book?
Yeah. Yep. I didn't change any of that.
What? I hope more than anything that he heard her fucking talking about that.
Oh, ooh, me too. I can't get over Steve has been playing Nerf basketball all
morning.
He's
a grown man bailing people out of jail and being
like
a lawyer.
19, I think.
He's close to it.
I think we found out in the last chapter that he's 19.
Oh, that's right.
It was the 90s. Maybe they couldn't afford to have a television in his room.
The Wakefields can afford that.
Or maybe he wasn't allowed.
It's cool. His door was slightly ajar, so she knocked and it pushed open. Hey, Liz. Stephen greeted her without taking his eyes from the basketball hoop. The tiny, tiny little plastic basketball hoop. He threw the foam basketball and missed. Loser.
Oh, Stephen.
Picked it up again.
It's been a busy morning, Liz.
He made a basket. He
getting closer.
He slammed it
in
the basket.
Almost got it in that time.
And he yelled, Kobe!
You know, maybe 275 will be the lucky one.
I wanted to apologize for the other day, Elizabeth said sincerely. Which thing? Ever since Stephen had blown up at her in the den, she had wanted to clear the air between them. Even if she didn't plan on telling him about the real author of his letter from Lila. I didn't mean to upset you with all that talk about Billy. It's already forgotten, Stephen said happily. Come on in. Elizabeth sighed in relief and parked herself on Stephen's plaid bedspread. She watched as he threw the ball through the hoop again and again without much of a pause. How many hours have you been at this? She asked worriedly.
We all asked worriedly. Stephen picked the basketball up off the floor and popped it through the hoop. Oh, about 4 or 5, I guess. Want to have a game? Elizabeth toyed.
I am unemployed, you know.
Elizabeth toyed with a button on the front of her pink flowered t-shirt. Wait.
Why?
Why does it have a button?
What?
No thanks, she answered. Can I ask you a question?
Stop toying with a button on your shirt while you sit on your brother's bed.
Ew.
Stop it. Stop.
Yeah. Stephen paused before tossing the basketball and turned to look at her. Uh-oh. If you have to ask me whether you can ask a question instead of just asking me the question, it's something big. He sat down on the bed beside Elizabeth and tossed the ball from one hand to the other. What's up? He is a sensory nightmare. Elizabeth leaned back, propping herself up on her elbows. I was just wondering. I know you haven't been very social lately. You haven't seen Lila in a couple days. What's keeping you holed up in here like a hermit? Do you have something on your mind? Stephen answered without hesitation. The Fowler Crest case. Elizabeth's eyes widened with surprise and apprehension when she heard his words.
Oh, I desperately want him to have a wall with like red string.
Yes,
attached
a court wall.
Yeah.
I hope since he's never going to be a lawyer now, he's like, I'll be a private eye.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
A lot of dames in this town.
A lot of teenage dames.
They call me the Sweet Valley PI.
I'm a detective.
She sat up straight and searched Stephen's face for a sign that he was joking. But he looked perfectly serious. Was her brother obsessed? You're still working on the case even though Garrison fired you over it? Elizabeth asked incredulously.
Yes, he replied. I found some new evidence. It's only a matter of time before I have the case sewn up tight. New evidence, Elizabeth asked. Evidence that clears Lila? More like evidence that proves John Pfeiffer Mellencamp guilty. Stephen answered with a smile. I'm going to make sure that loser finally gets locked away like he should have been a long time ago. A cold chill ran down Elizabeth's spine. Stephen seemed pretty convinced of John's guilt. She wasn't sure what this new evidence was, but if Stephen was right about John, that meant that Elizabeth had been working alongside a complete maniac at the Oracle. I just wish I could get inside Pfeiffer's house, Stephen said, rubbing his chin. I'm sure I'd find something solid there that would prove my theory.
Please don't do that.
It's breaking and entering, Stephen.
Sometimes PIs have to break the rules. Stephen, Elizabeth exclaimed.
Not when they're teenagers.
When you're a kid detective, you have to climb through some windows. Stephen, Elizabeth exclaimed, you're not actually thinking about breaking into John's house, are you? I mean, it was bad enough when you went through his desk and the evidence room and all that other shit you did. What if the DA found out? Of course I'm not going to break into his house, Liz, Stephen answered evenly. But Garrison can't prevent me from investigating on my own. I believe Lila is innocent, and I'm going to prove it.
My name isn't Stephen Wakefield.
Same page.
Every once in a while, do you think like, that's why we're friends?
Constantly.
Constantly.
If it was a once in a while happening, but it always happens.
Oh, my God. Stephen got up and started playing again. It's strange, but doing this helps me think, he said. It's not strange. It's a scientifically proven thing. It's, I can't remember what it's called, but it's like when you think of shit when you're like driving or in the shower.
I don't know what it's called.
It's the thing where like you
no,
occupy your mind.
I know what
with,
it
like,
is.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's called. Yeah.
I think it's called thinking the shit.
Oh. When
you're occupied in the shower.
Okay. Yeah.
It's called shower thoughts.
Shower.
It's called shower.
It's called.
Let's move on.
Shower thoughts. I'm missing one piece of the puzzle, and when I find it, I'm bringing my evidence to the DA. He'll love it. He'll be so happy I did all this work for him. Elizabeth sighed.
She knew that her brother was determined, and it was useless to argue anymore. It looked like nothing was going to stop him now. What do you want to stop him from doing, Elizabeth? You stop him from living, breathing air?
Like, I know books about teenagers can't have too much parents in them because then it all falls apart.
Right.
But where are their fucking parents? No. These two teenage girls are trying to manipulate their older brother who has a job and lost a job.
Yeah.
Their mom should be like, can you guys chill the fuck out?
Can you leave him
alone?
Or
you're not going to homecoming this year?
Yeah, can you leave your brother alone?
Yeah.
I want these fucking dogs to chill the fuck out because they're just barking nonstop.
Oh, I can't hear.
They want justice for Lila. Jessica.
I mean, the worst part is they're my dogs.
Oh, no. Jessica slammed the front door and bounded up the stairs. No doubt Elizabeth was sitting up in her room doing something boring like studying or working on a crossword puzzle. And Jessica couldn't wait to tell her the good news about her meeting with Lila. She burst into her sister's room and found her predictably sitting at her desk like a fucking loser. Aren't you going to say hello to your better half? Jessica asked breezily. That was the opposite of breezily. Hello, Elizabeth answered without looking up from her chemistry book. Ever hear of knocking? Yeah, bitch. Jessica was in too good a mood to respond to Elizabeth's comment. How can you sit up here studying on this beautiful afternoon? Without waiting for an answer, Jessica dumped the blue bikini onto the bed. Look what I bought! Isn't it great? Elizabeth put down her book and groaned. More clothes? Didn't you get enough on your shopping expeditions with Lila? Jessica, you have a problem.
They all have problems.
I know.
Jessica made an exasperated face. I didn't get a new bathing suit. Don't you just love it? It's nice, Elizabeth said half-heartedly. Maybe you'll be more interested in the conversation I just had with Lila, Jessica announced, stuffing the bikini back in the bag. She almost laughed when she saw the spark of curiosity in her sister's eyes. What conversation? Elizabeth asked. She was pretending to be bored, but Jessica could see right through her sister's little act. The girl was hanging on Jessica's every word. Jesus Christ, Jessica, calm down. She flashed Elizabeth a mischievous smile, then quickly filled her twin in on what had happened at the Dairy Burger.
Jessica's
every
like,
time I read the word, the way they spell dairy in this book, it gives me an aneurysm.
It's awful. It's horrible. Yeah. Jessica's like
called the Dairy Burger.
The slimmest,
Dairy.
Like the
Dairy Burger,
the smallest like sliver of power.
We meet later at the Dairy.
I'm a monster.
The relationship between Stephen and Lila is on its way to ruin. I hope you're right, Elizabeth said. But Stephen says he's been thinking about the Fowler Crest case all day. He still won't leave it alone. He's totally convinced that John Pfeiffer is the arsonist. Jessica shuddered. It wouldn't surprise me one bit if that creep turned out to be guilty, she said. Maybe Stephen's right, and he'll prove Lila's innocent and break up with her, and everything will be back to normal. I hope you're right, Elizabeth said, but there's just one thing bothering me.
Jessica rolled her eyes. Why couldn't Elizabeth ever just be happy? What now? Well, Stephen hasn't seen Lila in a few days, and from what you said about your conversation with her, Lila won't be going anywhere near Stephen in the near future, Elizabeth answered. That's what we wanted, silly, Jessica said, bounding off the bed and crossing the room to Elizabeth's mirror. She grabbed a little tub of lip balm off her sister's desk. What's the problem? Ever hear of absence making the heart grow fonder, Elizabeth asked. She got up from her desk and plopped down on the edge of her bed. What if they both suddenly realize they miss each other?
Jessica
flipped her hair over her shoulders and dabbed at her lips. She had to admit her sister had a point. So let's not give them time to miss each other. She turned around to face Elizabeth. Another brilliant idea quickly taking form.
I think you don't want them together. You don't want them apart. Like, where's the end?
I still can't believe that their entire plot line, the two of them, is just trying to break up her brother.
Yeah.
It's just manipulating people.
Yeah.
It's like season 3 of Lost when they're just spinning wheels.
Like, if they become secret agents, great. These skills will become necessary. But
that's what this is setting up.
This isn't secret agents. This is just the fucking over innocent people.
Yeah.
I think we ought to strike while the iron is hot, Jessica continued. If we can get them alone together soon while Stephen is still put off by the letter and Lila is horrified about cooking and ironing, I'll bet there would be a huge blow-up. Elizabeth nodded solemnly. Right? Let's not give Lila time to forget about the idea of washing Stephen's socks.
Like in a wash tub with like a board?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like an old-timey person?
Like...
Also, I had a great punchline-y ending to my segment. And it was as written.
Oh. Okay. But how can we get them together? Wait. So now they're trying to get them together. How much longer is this book?
I think we're just about halfway through.
Fuck. Okay.
This does feel incredibly long.
Jessica jumped onto the bed next to Elizabeth and curled her legs under her. I know what to do, she said excitedly. It's perfect. The big Mesa game is on Saturday, right? Elizabeth's eyes clouded with confusion. What does football have to do with this? She asked. Jessica grinned. Sometimes her dear sister could be so dense. It's a big game. She said, bouncing up and down a couple of times for emphasis. That's so obnoxious. We'll make sure Lila goes, and I'll tell her Stephen wants to meet her to talk somewhere off by themselves. Meanwhile, you can get Stephen to go to the game with you and Todd and tell him Lila wants to see him. Elizabeth stared at Jessica, looking half impressed, half shocked. I knew you had a devious mind, Jessica, she said jokingly. But don't you think this is a little over the top? I'm sorry, Elizabeth. Have you read the other books?
Also, this is way less over the top than writing fucking forged letters.
Yes.
Also, for the plan to keep being like lies that are so easily disproven.
Yeah.
Like, she wanted to talk to you about this, or he wrote you this letter. They could easily just have a conversation that's like, I didn't write you a letter. Oh, I didn't write you a letter.
It's crazy that they haven't
solved
already.
Yeah.
Neither of them are. They're dancing around the fucking point of the thing.
Yeah. It's crazy that neither one of them have been like, you know, like you wrote.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or just immediately blurted it out. Bro, what was up with that letter?
Yeah. I hated it. Don't you think it's a little over the top? I mean, once they get together, wouldn't they figure it out? Oh, they'll be so busy breaking up they won't think to ask each other how they got there, Jessica exclaimed. It's perfect, Liz! Elizabeth sighed, but then Jessica saw her sister's mouth start to turn up in a reluctant smile. With Elizabeth's help, Jessica's plan was sure to work. Stephen and Lila's relationship was about to go up in smoke.
Like her house!
Like her house! What if Jessica's the arsonist?
I wouldn't be surprised.
No, I wouldn't either.
Meanwhile, Devin gave the squeaky hinge another drop of oil, then swung the kitchen door back and forth. It moved smoothly and silently. Satisfied, he put the oil can down on the counter and wiped his hands on a rag. The noise had been driving him crazy.
What?
In the past couple of days. It's like really an actual oil can and not just like some WD-40.
We had an oil can growing up. Did you not?
No.
No, you're old.
I'm not that old.
I grew up in the modern times of buying WD-40.
We had a straight up oil can, and I remember taking it and like putting my thumb in the bottom, and it goes like.
I've never touched an oil can.
It's fun.
What were horses and carriages
even
like?
Understand what noise you're making? Did you also play with a hoop and a stick?
No.
You would have.
I would have.
I see the hoop on your face.
I would have. I still would now.
Okay.
In the past this game of days, we played called Surviving.
In the past couple of days, Devin had noticed that there were lots of repairs that needed doing around Nana's house. Leaky faucets needed washers, light switches needed rewiring, and drains needed fixing. Luckily, when Devin was young...
He sure is handy for a rich kid. Are you about to explain it?
Yes, in a very stupid way.
Okay, cool.
Luckily, when Devin was young, he used to hang out with any plumbers, electricians, and cable guys who came to the mansion. That's fucking grim.
What is he, our cat Alfie? That is crazy.
It was a way out of boredom, and it taught him a few things as well.
What the fuck?
Devin, can what you imagine what those poor plumbers thought with this little child? It's like, will you be my friend?
Excuse me?
I don't
me?
Have any except my Nana.
Yeah.
They Are took you her my away. Father?
Yeah. And they're like,
can
Devin,
you take me home with you?
Don't talk to the hired help. He's here to fix. He's here to fix the poop machine.
There's these people that I don't eat dinner with that might be my parents, but I'm not entirely sure because I've never spoken with them.
I forget he wasn't allowed to eat.
I just call them sir and ma'am.
I call them Mr. and Mrs. Whiteclaw. Yeah.
They just said children should be seen, not heard.
Especially by plumbers.
For the first 7 years of my life, I thought my name was The Boy.
Devin walked into the kitchen and started washing his hands in the sink. He smelled as he remembered what Nana had said to him the night before when she caught him working on an old clock. He can fix clocks? That's this another is... level of skill. How many clockmakers did they have at his house as a child?
I am handy, but I am not as handy as this rich kid, and I'm yeah. bothered by that.
You gotta start learning how to fix clocks.
Oh my god, it's a forgotten art.
You don't have to do that, she told him. Ride around on your motorcycle and get to know the town. Go to the beach and meet some girls.
Yeah.
Devin built that motorcycle with his bare fucking hands.
Devin had told her there would be plenty of time for that. He enjoyed making himself useful. Nana had provided him with a place to stay, and he didn't want to just lie around taking up space. Besides, working with his hands kept his mind occupied, too. It helped him deal with the war between logic and emotion that was going on inside him.
Jesus Christ.
Devin sighed.
Got I have haunts, so many haunted feelings. Eyes. Staring into the middle distance. Yeah. Like fixing a clock.
Shook the water from his hands and plopped down at the kitchen table. Looking out the window, he saw two suns.
Music swelled.
I expect great things for Devin. The longer he stayed in Nana's house, the more he wanted to give in to her apparent kindness. It was hard to feel anything but affection and admiration for this woman who appeared to spread goodness wherever she went. Why would that be a hard thing to do? It seems like it would be the easiest thing to do.
Like a sweet old lady? Fuck her.
Like, oh no, clearly hiding? You're great.
Hard yeah. to feel anything but affection.
Give people a chance to disappoint you. At the same time, Devin struggled harder and harder to keep a hold on his heart. What if her kindness was just greed in disguise?
Jesus Christ.
Devin noticed a framed print on the floor, propped up against the wall. There was a tiny hole in the wall above it that looked as if it had once held a nail. Devin shook his head. Maybe he would rehang the artwork, and that would be his last chore for the day. He headed for the garage to find a nail and a hammer. The small, musty garage was in an even worse state than the house. There were shelves along one wall where Nana stored everything from canned food and broken lamps to the few tools she owned. The shelves themselves were cracked and broken. Devin made a mental note to replace them as soon as he could borrow Nana's car, because he's rich. Devin started rummaging around, looking for a box of nails. Suddenly, one of the shelves gave, and a metal box came tumbling down.
Ooh, a box of secrets!
Secret box!
Box
also,
of secrets.
While you were describing that garage, I was just picturing it in, like, Fallout terms, and I'm just, like, pick all of it up, pick all of it up, pick all of it up, all that junk.
That's what I was thinking when I heard oil can.
Oh, yeah, Fallout. Yeah, there's oil in that oil can.
I was thinking of it in Starfield terms because I picked that shit back up.
Oh, I keep meaning to do that. Is it good?
Yeah, I mean, it's still the same game, but like the new shit's cool, and the fact that there's mods.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there's mods now?
Oh, my gosh. It's not like as many as you'd think.
Yeah.
Like they're taking their time coming to console, but like, oh, man, like the shit you can do with ships now. Ooh. It's insane.
All right, I'll check it out.
Every time.
And you could decorate the inside of the ships now.
That's what I heard. You can do that.
Every time I hear something good about that game, it's about building ships, which I couldn't give less of a fuck about.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
I'll
not...
just keep playing Dragon Age Inquisition.
Yeah, no, the story's still the same. But the trailer for the DLC looked fucking awesome.
It does.
It does, yeah.
Devin jumped back just in time to avoid being hit on the head. "That was close," he muttered as the box crashed to the floor. When it hit, the top flew open and the contents of the box spilled out onto the dirty cement. Devin blinked at the mess. There were letters, dozens of them, in envelopes of cream, pale, yellow, pastel blue, and pink. "Wow," Devin thought. "Nana must really be sentimental if she saved all her correspondence." He bent down to scoop the... Or she's an old person.
Yeah, any old person.
Any old person. The amount of greeting cards we had to throw out of my grandmother's house after she died. He bent down to scoop the envelopes into the box. As Devin
I feel bad about this, but I need to make a confession.
Yes, please.
Like, when someone gives me a birthday card...
Yeah, you throw it away?
It's... like, why... What am I supposed to do with this now? Like, am I supposed to treasure it forever and display it? Is there, like, a period of time that I have to display it that I'm required to?
I usually put them out for a month-ish and then throw most of them away.
But now everyone sends
cards that are pictures of them and their kids, and I feel like I need to hang on to those.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'll save a card if, like, someone's on the brink of dying, or I just kept a card around out of guilt and then the person died. I can't throw this away now.
I am very heartless when it comes to this.
You are.
I throw that shit away immediately because I used to hang on to them, and then I would be like, what the fuck am I, like, there's a million cards.
I wish I was where you are. But mostly
Just let John come over. He'll throw your stuff away. He's merciless.
Well, no.
I'll sweep shit off the fridge and I'll be like, into the trash.
I always do eventually throw them away, but usually like in chunks.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'll get to a point and I'm just like, why do I have these? Like, why are these taking up space in my life? And I just get rid of them. I purge.
Yeah.
And because I have limited space.
Yeah.
Small house living.
Throw that shit away. It's not something against the person who gave you a card.
It's because, you know? Like, I read it once, I set it down, and then it sits there for
months. Supposed to read it once.
Or sometimes if cards are funny, like...
And then it goes in the trash.
Yeah. I was looking through my old photo album recently, and I had shoved just a bunch of cards in there that were, like, way after any pictures in that album were taken, because it was basically, like, middle school and high school.
Yeah.
But I found a bunch of cards from Joe and Brian, because they all have, like, terrible puns in them.
Oh, yeah.
I think I've kept every card that they've given us.
Oh, and they sent me a card one time, I think, for my birthday, and I think it was like handmade because they had like cut out maybe like, I don't know, it was just like pictures of like beefcake dudes. It was very silly, and I think I hung on to that one because it was so funny.
I think
funny.
They also sent us a card for Christmas where they had like cut out our faces and put them over reindeer.
Yes. I guess if you put a lot of effort into it and it's really funny, hang on to that.
The lesson is make better cards, idiots.
Yeah, make
keep
better
your cards.
Cards
if they're good.
You want me to keep your card? Put some fucking effort into it.
Yeah.
Well, did you just order a card from a website of a picture of your family? Into the trash.
Some I keep.
Now it just sounds like you're bragging that you get way better cards than I do.
Get on Joe and Brian's
just
card
Joe and Brian,
list.
Yeah.
Just Joe and Brian. Just get on their Christmas card list or something. It's pretty great.
Joe and Brian, if you're listening, put me on your damn Christmas card list. I'm not saying my address here, but, like, you know, reach out if you care.
Send them a DM.
Because if you do care, you'll listen to this. And if not, well, you know, I'll know you don't care to send me a Christmas card. It doesn't mean you didn't listen to it. Oof, it just means you don't want to send me a Christmas card.
Guilt.
And and we'll both live with that fact that I know.
Where was I?
I have no idea.
He scooped the envelope.
Who's gonna give out
box.
First, guys? That's what I'm saying.
As Devin grabbed up one of the letters, he couldn't help peeking at the address. Maybe they were secret love letters from Nana to some long lost boyfriend. I wanna read that smut, Devin thought. But when he saw the carefully printed address, Devin's heart nearly stopped. The letter was addressed to Devin himself.
OMG.
At his house in Connecticut, obviously. Return to sender was stamped across the front of the sealed envelope in huge red letters. Devin's hands trembled as he picked up another letter and then another letter and then another, and his mind reeled as he saw his own name printed again and again. Some were brittle and yellowed with age, and the ink had smudged on a few of them, but they were all undeniably addressed to him, and they were all stamped "Return to Sender." Devin's heart thudded in his chest, and sweat broke out on his palms.
I don't want Nanah to turn out to be a serial killer, and I'm glad that that's not what's going to happen.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh. Well, I was thinking...
But that's a frightening thing.
It was sweet of her to send a few letters, but, like, at what point would you give up? Like, you're a babysitter for... He was, like, 8 or 9 when she left?
Yeah.
Unless she is his mother. Bio mom.
Yeah. I think that's
I think it's fucking... it's kind of psycho... If it's, like, decades...
Yeah.
If it's more than a month's worth of letters, it's psychotic sending them.
Yeah.
If she was, like, live-in nanny, like, taking care of him 24-7 for 8 straight years, I could see her sending that many letters. Because, like, in her head, it's just like, no, at this point, that is my kid.
Yeah.
But, I mean... And I care about him.
Yeah. That's still wild.
I don't know. I'd give up sooner.
I'd give up.
But no, I still go with my original theory of a bio mom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Egg donor.
The whole pile of letters had been sent to him in Connecticut, but he'd never received a single one. His parents must have intercepted them and returned them all unopened. How could they do this to me?
I like the idea of, like, the mailman coming up with the letter and his dad coming out and just, like, chopping
it. Just slamming a stamp down. Just windmill slam a stamp down on it.
No. I feel like as rich as he was.
Just ready with the ink pad when the mailman walks up.
Yeah.
I feel like as rich as he was, he didn't find out about the mailman until he was, like, a teenager.
Who, Devin?
Well, I don't know. He hung out with all the workers. He probably sat there and talked to the mailman for, like, 45 minutes.
He's like, how'd you become a mailman? What's your salary like?
Can I come with you?
Do you have good benefits?
Why do you wear blue?
Do dogs chase you a lot?
What's the stripe on your pants mean?
Why isn't there a door on your car?
How could they make me think that Nana didn't care about me? Numb, he stuffed the envelopes back into the metal box and carried it into the house, through the living room, and into the tiny space that had been his bedroom for the past few days. He plopped down on his bed and dumped the contents of the box out onto the patchwork quilt. Then he just sat there and stared. Should I open them? He wondered hesitantly. For a moment, he felt like he was evading Nana's privacy. But they are addressed to me, he said out loud, like a normal, non-crazy person. Nervously, Devin wiped his palm on the thigh of his jean and plucked a cream-colored envelope from the top of the pile. He held the envelope carefully and examined the postmark. The letter had been written nearly a year after Nana had left the White Claws. He slid his finger under the flap and tore along the crease. He swallowed, then pulled out several pages and began to read.
Several? Several? Jesus Christ, Nana.
Well, also, that's another thought, is how much does she have to say?
Yeah.
Like, what's going on in her life to have so much to write about?
To a child.
Yeah, to a 10-year-old.
I witnessed a murder today.
My dearest Devin... Did you get the trains I sent you for your birthday? I hope you are enjoying playing with them. Maybe you can come to visit me someday soon, and together we'll take a ride on a real train.
I think you know that he didn't get the fucking trains if you've been getting return letters for a year, Nana.
This is depressing.
Blood rushed to Devin's head, and he felt as if he might explode with anger. I wonder what they did with those trains, Devin thought.
I want those trains. They're mine.
I could just trash the trains. It would be nice to think that his parents had at least donated the gift to a charity. But he knew better. They never thought of anyone but themselves.
I just, like, threw them in the woods.
Yeah.
And these letters prove that, Devin whispered through clenched teeth. He's a very clenched person.
Mm-hmm. He is.
He picked up another envelope and tore it open. Dearest Devin, he read, I always think of you at Christmas. Working frantically, as if drawn by a force he couldn't control, Devin ripped open envelope after envelope. He read a few lines each time before putting the letter aside to grab another. Finally, Devin reached the last, a heavy envelope of pastel blue. It was dated only a month earlier. Devin held the letter carefully.
A month earlier from now?
I guess. When did his parents die, like a week ago?
Good God,
I thought
what?
He had a whole Vegas adventure.
Devin held the letter carefully, almost afraid to believe that she had been so devoted all this time.
I'm also afraid of that.
Me too.
He tore it open and read.
I'm so happy that I'm so jealous. Read this. Dear Devin, I know you'll be going to your junior prom soon. You must be so grown up now. I wish I could go with you as your date.
Devin's art.
Devin's oh, no, it was her coping mechanism because she didn't have social media to post on. So she vague booked
to
letters
him.
To Devin, knowing they'll just get sent back.
Devin's arm dropped.
Wow.
He was too overcome with emotion to go on.
Sweet Rally invented social media.
It did. He rested his head in his hands, exhausted. Piled beside him were years of Nana's affection, of her longing to see him, of her caring. Years and years during which Devin had made himself forget about her. Years and years in which his parents had been so distant, so cold. He had longed for Nana all that time, ugh, and had been tremendously hurt when he hadn't heard from her. All the pain Devin had felt as a sad and lonely child hanging out with plumbers and electricians welled up inside. He had locked it away for so long, and now it threatened to overwhelm him. Devin took a deep breath, and a harsh, rasping sound tore through his chest. Jesus
it's like
Christ.
My chest all the time.
Oh,
now.
No. Devin had flu Rona. Soon his whole body was racked with wave after wave of powerful, dry sobs. Devin doubled over and hugged his arms to his body. Then, when he thought he could stand the pain no longer, he finally wept.
And formed a cocoon around himself.
Why did Jesus it take so long to make Christ. Tears come out?
Oh, he had to work him up. I'm borrowing Jesus. It again.
Which, when broken, he emerges a new Devin. Devin 2.
Emerge from my Devin chrysalis.
Boogaloo.
Devin lay flat on his back with his forearm covering
his eyes.
Did
we really
eyes.
Only read one chapter so far?
Yes.
Oh my God. There's a lot of meat in the last one, at least.
In the last chapter?
Yeah, the last chapter had some meat in there.
Oh, yeah. I only took two notes. He took a deep breath and let it out slowly, wondering how long he'd been crying. Sitting up, he blinked a few times to clear any remnants of tears and stared out the window. It looked as if the sun was just setting. Stretching out his arms, Devin smiled slightly. The outpouring of emotion had left him feeling drained and weak, yet somehow refreshed too. The strain of holding his sadness inside was gone, and his whole body felt freer, lighter. Now he could do what he really wanted to do, read each and every letter all the way through. Jesus Christ, we're still in the letters. Devin picked up a letter at random. Sorry. I'm dying.
Well,
leaned
just
back.
Finish your page first before you die.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Gotta get a good recording here.
Yeah.
All right, we're professionals. We're pros.
I'm so sorry to disappoint you. Yeah. Devin picked a letter at random, leaned back.
Who records with a cough?
Leaned back against the headboard and started to read. Devin perused each letter carefully, letting the words wrap around him like a warm blanket. He's still reading the fucking
I was
letters.
Just going
to
say.
He just went back to read them all, like, top to bottom.
Yeah.
The more he read, the closer he felt to Dana, and the more certain he was that he had finally found someone he could really trust.
Do you know what Nana's favorite song is?
What?
Na, 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 na. Na, 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 na.
I thought it was
going to
be Please, Mr. Postman.
Oh, because of the letters?
Yeah.
No, I'm just picking the song where they just say na-na, na-na-na over again.
Becca's was better, though.
Oh, come on!
I worked hard on that. Just kidding.
Because, I feel like Becca's is better because Nana, as a character so far, from what we've read so far, I don't know if you remember every episode we record.
Sure, I remember every episode we record.
We know that Nana is more of a hello person and not a goodbye person.
What?
That's the vibe I've been getting from her from this journey we've been on.
What is the what?
The song.
So that's why Becca's song's better.
Oh.
Because your song's about goodbyes.
Oh. I was thinking of that fucking Beatles song.
Oh. She hates that song.
She hates that song.
Yeah.
Too many goodbyes in it. Move your goddamn feet.
But it's...
this table's too small.
I'll just man spread and
okay.
put them to the sides.
We're not on a bus. You can man spread all you want. No. All right, someone's got to read this book.
All right. Where was I?
It's not going to be me.
When it's really bad, we really try our best to not actually read it, don't we?
I know.
We just when it's really bad, yeah, all
really
I can do is,
tangents.
Is interrupt as much as I can. Yeah. That's why it takes forever.
All right. It was my turn, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, no, I think I just finished.
No, I did. The words wrapped around him like a warm blanket.
All right.
Like a warm blanket, Chris.
The more he read, the closer he felt to Nana, and the more certain he was that he had finally found someone he could really trust. Her love and caring poured from every page. He was so absorbed that he didn't hear the door click open. He didn't even know someone else was in the room with him until Nana spoke.
Devin,
she said softly. A single look at Nana's face told Devin that she already understood what had happened. Their eyes locked for a moment of deep communication.
Yeah, it's not kiss. Exactly vague what's happening. You dumped Devin, the letters all over your bed.
Kiss.
Ew.
Devin began gathering the letters into a neat pile.
Unless you're related.
All these letters. All those years, he said hoarsely. When I asked you why you never tried to contact me, why didn't you tell me? He picked up one of the envelopes. It would have meant so much to me to know. Nana sat down on the edge of the bed and clasped her hands in the lap of her long blue skirt. She was still wearing the name tag she wore at the daycare center on the right side of her crisp white blouse. Wait, she put the name tag on?
It just says Nana.
Oh, no. She Nana. Works at a daycare center. Okay.
Yeah.
It says, I thought Nana, parentheses, Nan.
I put the name tag on that I wore when you were younger.
It's or yeah, wait, no, it says
Nan, Nana, Nanny.
Nan, parentheses, right. Nan, or quotation, Nan, Nana. Nan, Nan, Nana. I'm Nan, Nana, but you can call me Nan.
Oh, Jesus.
All right, here we go. Your parents' deaths are so fresh, Devin. Nana said softly, shaking her head. I thought it was enough for you to bear. I was afraid if I told you about the letters, it would complicate things. Nana's eyes glistened. I didn't want you to hate your parents. Devin's lip curled. Oh! Don't cry, Devin!
Oh, no!
I think that was decided long before I arrived on your doorstep, he said, his voice full of cold rage.
Why did they keep sending your letters back? Nana stood and walked to the window. She stared out silently for a few moments before turning back to Devin. Well, Devin prompted. Nana twisted her hands.
Because I suppose they...
Her voice trailed off. Devin snorted. They know how heartbroken I was about never hearing from you. I asked about you all the time. His voice cracked. When I was little, I cried about you every night.
God.
Then when I was older, something inside of me just closed up. You were more like my mother than my mother. And you were gone forever.
Nana turned and put her hand on Devin's shoulder.
That was amazing.
Thank you.
Oh, no, Devin,
she said.
You mustn't feel that way. Your mother loved you very much,
And still does if we're right.
That's a laugh,
Devin said dryly.
Listen to me, Devin,
Nana said.
She loved you the only way she knew how. She had a hard time expressing her love, that's all.
Her voice dropped to a whisper.
I think it hurt her sometimes.
Not that quiet of a whisper, though, right?
I think it hurt her sometimes that you and I became so close.
Now she sounds like a skeleton.
I think
she sounds like Yoda dying. Yoda.
That's what I was also thinking. She sounds like Yoda dying.
Luke, there is another white claw. I think she felt left out.
Left out!
Devin snorted again.
I used to ache for my mother to give me a hug. Or play with me. Or do one single thing to show me she loved me.
This is awesome.
This is so sad.
Yeah, but I love screaming.
He stood up and started to pace the small area between his bed and his closet. But all she did was ignore me or criticize me. You were the one who bathed me, who fed me, who took care of me when I was sick. If she loved me so much, why didn't she do those things? Nana's face crumpled a little. I'm sure she would have if she had known how, Devin. Maybe your mother just wasn't good at showing affection. Like, so then you agree, she was a terrible mother.
Maybe if someone taught her how to wash a baby, she would have.
Yeah, maybe if she knew how to love and wasn't a cold monster.
A cold, rich bitch.
Devin spoke through gritted teeth. I'll say she wasn't. Besides, she was too busy going to society parties. Having a little boy around was always so inconvenient. Devin, please don't talk this way, Nana begged. Let him have his feelings, Nana.
Right?
But Devin barely heard her.
Society parties.
Yeah. Connecticut society.
Yeah. Fucking Gilmore Girls.
Yeah. Do you remember the time I fell and skinned my knee in the yard? He demanded. Only once.
I thought that was her talking.
You patched me up even though you were only four.
You learned it from all of those blue-collar workers. It's like a field medic.
I ran into the house crying for my mother. His face darkened with anger. That was before I knew better, Devin rambled on.
Jesus.
She was getting ready to go out. She said she didn't want my muddy hands on her dress. She screamed at you to get me away from her.
God, good
damn.
God,
that's
Devin.
Awful.
Man.
Devin clenched his hands into fists at his sides. My father was even worse, always trying to control me, but never trying to love me. Never playing ball with me or going places with me the way other dads did. I do hate them. I hate them and I'll never, ever forgive them.
I'm glad they're dead.
I am glad that they're dead.
Me too.
Because if they weren't, I feel like he'd kill them.
Yeah. Or himself. Like, this is bleak.
Goddamn. Like, right. Yeah, he can. It's not too late. He can get into therapy and straighten this all out.
Yeah.
But if they were alive, I'd be concerned for them.
Yeah.
Devin, please sit down. She walked over to him and led him back to the bed.
Ugh.
What you're doing can only hurt you more. Hate is never the answer. You've got to put it behind you if you're ever to get on with living.
Hate leads to suffering.
Yeah, I really thought about doing a Jedi thing, but...
Yeah, of course, it's Star Wars.
Devin let her words sink in. In his heart, he knew she was right. The longer he carried this bitterness with him, the more it would eat away at his soul, the way it had been eating at him since his parents had died.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Try not to hate them, he said finally. I'll take it day by day. Still pretty mad right now.
Nana patted his hand. That's the spirit. She paused for a moment.
There's something I've been thinking about very seriously, Devin, she said. I know it's a big step, but I wish you would consider staying on with me. There is an excellent high school here, and I think you should get back to your studies before you miss much more. Not that catching up will be a problem for a brilliant boy like you, she added.
Devin felt calmness and warmth slowly flooding his body. Staying here in Sweet Valley would be a dream come true, he thought. He suddenly realized how much he missed going to school and studying science, being around kids his own age. This book is so dumb.
God, I miss science and teenagers.
Oh, God. I'm how like I trying, long for science and teens.
I'm trying real hard to sell it, but it's hard.
You're doing a great job.
What do you say, Devin? Nana asks. Sunshine, girls in bikinis, will you give it a try?
Devin looked into Nana's kind blue eyes. Nana was the only person he had ever trusted, and now he knew he still could.
I'd love to stay,
he said finally. For the first time since he could remember, he really felt as if he had found a home. I hope that eventually you'll agree to become my legal guardian. Nana's voice shook with emotion.
He said that?
Yeah.
That is a crazy thing to say.
That's his quest.
I know, but who says that?
I hope that eventually you'll agree to become my legal guardian.
Nana's voice shook with emotion.
Of course, Devin. That's what you decide you want. Nothing would please me more.
It is what I want,
Devin said, surprised at his own certainty. He opened his mouth to tell Nana about the inheritance, but swallowed the words. It looked like this. He went,
I'm going to be the Batman of Sweet Valley.
He didn't want talk of money to spoil this moment, and he knew Nana wouldn't care anyway. There would be time enough to discuss it. Now that he had found a home, he had all the time in the world. Meanwhile, mind if I sit down? Jessica asked brightly. It was Friday afternoon, and Jessica had spotted Lila eating alone in the cafeteria. It was time to put the last phase of Operation Breakup in motion.
Huh? Lila asked, obviously startled. Oh, no. Go ahead.
Jessica plopped into a chair and watched as Lila listlessly pushed her food around on her plate.
Listen, Lai, I know you're worried about your hearing, and you've been through a lot lately. Lai.
But it's time for you to snap out of this depression you've been in. You're so boring these days. Lila's lips curled into a half smile. Thanks, Jess, but it's easier said than done. She sat up straighter. Actually, I have been feeling a little better lately. They've done a lot of construction on the house. The sooner I see it fully restored, the quicker I can put the fire out of my mind. That's great, Jessica said sincerely. She took a bite of her tuna salad sandwich Chris. And washed it down with a swig of water.
Nice.
Of course, Lila said. I'll never entirely forget what happened. Maybe not, Jessica said cheerfully, but once you get back into the swing of things, you'll brighten right up. What do you mean, get back into the swing of things? Lila asked, looking wary. You've got to start getting out more, Jessica responded. The big football game against Big Mesa is tomorrow. That's so stupid.
You can't have big twice in a sentence
big
like that.
Mesa.
Big Mesa.
Why don't you come with me? It'll be like old times. Lila's eyes widened. Oh, I don't know if I'm up for the football game, Jess. Everyone will be staring at me. Hiding won't help, Jessica said firmly. The sooner people get used to seeing you out, the quicker they'll stop staring.
You never know, Lila. You might just have fun. Jessica held her breath. If Lila didn't agree to come with her, her plan was as good as finished, and then she'd have to kill her. Lila sighed. Well, I guess it might be a good idea for me to get out, she said finally. You won't regret it, Lila. Jessica gushed. She could hardly contain her joy. Operation Breakup was nearly complete. Sometime later, Stephen scuffed his toe in the dirt as he watched the crowd gather in the bleachers before the Big Mesa football game. His eyes scanned the field.
I really wish you said the Big, Big Mesa football game.
Well, yeah, but now I'm like, which is it? Like, is it the Big Mesa?
No, because big is capitalized, so it's like Big Mesa.
But it's also the beginning of the sentence.
Oh, shit.
So we might never know.
Fuck.
What? Wait, what?
Wait, what?
No. Is it Big Mesa or is it the Big Mesa football
No, it's Big
game?
Mesa.
No, it's capitalized.
Yeah, Big Mesa.
Oh, wait. It isn't. I'm an idiot. Never mind.
No, it's okay. It's okay.
Edit that out. Edit
you know
that
I won't.
I will not.
That's why it's a joke. Excuse me, he heard a feminine voice behind him. Stephen moved aside to let a pretty brunette girl pass. She started making her way up the bleachers toward a gangly guy who was waving enthusiastically.
Who's that dork?
I know.
The girl wrapped her arms around the dork's neck and kissed him gently on the cheek. Stephen gazed at them and felt a pang of nostalgia for Billy. Oh. Sighing, Stephen wished for a moment that he was still in high school and could start all over again. Compared to what's been going 20. On...
Oh my God, Steve, get it together.
Compared to what's been going on in my life now, I'd take those days in a minute, he thought. He checked his watch and realized he was running late, gathering up his hot dog wrapper and empty soda cup. Stephen started to make his way down the bleachers. The crowd erupted into wild cheers and applause just as Stephen dumped his trash in a garbage can. Yeah, throwing away trash is great, crowd.
I did a good job. He looked up to see that Ken Matthews, the SBH quarterback, had just scrambled for a touchdown. The whole team was congratulating him in the end zone with butt pats. Stephen's shoulders slumped as he turned to head for the school building. For an odd moment, he wanted to be Ken, to feel that sense of elation and total confidence. Stephen, did you peak in high school? Right now, Matthews didn't have a care in the world. Have you seen that TikTok of that girl that's, like, mad about the nerds from high school being the people who make the laws now?
No.
There's a TikTok that people are, like, ripping this chick apart. And she, I think she got fired also because she... to the N-word in another video or something.
Oh, great.
But it's just like, it's this just very like basic bitch, clearly peaked in high school. Mm-hmm. And she's just like, aren't you guys mad that all the nerds that we fucking made fun of in high school and like beat up and pushed into lockers and gave swirlies, those are like the ones that are all in charge of everything now that we're out of high school. And she literally says something like, they're the Fauci's of the, she's like, they're like the Fauci's and the Zuckerbergs of the world. She's like, they're the ones like making all the laws and doing everything. Why are we scared of these fucking stupid fucking nerds? And people are
What's
just like,
what's her name? Marjorie Taylor Greene.
No, she just looks like some dumb, just like basic blonde idiot. And people are just like, it's because you peaked in high school.
Yeah.
It's
because they studied and learned things like science.
It's exactly, it's just like because they studied and they worked hard. So now they have all the jobs that do things. And you're just an idiot.
Yeah.
Who got fired.
They're realists and they care and they put in the effort.
Yeah. It's just like, it's wild to see a full adult person being like, why can't
I be a teenage bully anymore?
Yeah, like, why are we letting these fucking nerds do stuff? Like, because no one cares?
Yeah, because your opinion is worthless.
Get a fucking job, idiot. Stephen felt as if he had the weight of 10 worlds on his shoulders.
10?
Fucking.
One world's not heavy enough.
How? He had spent hours now trying to figure out what his next steps should be in investigating the Fowler Crest case. You're not an investigator. He wished for the 100th time that he had been able to convince the DA that John Pfeiffer Mellencamp was worth investigating. Stephen was sure that if he could just get a look around John's room, he would find something that would link him undeniably to the fires. But only the police could get a legal warrant to search someone's house. Damn laws. Stephen kicked at a small stone in frustration. As he approached the back door of the school, his chest felt hollow and his stomach was queasy. Moments ago, Elizabeth had told him that Lila wanted to meet him by the bathrooms. She'd said that it was important. It had been days since Stephen had seen Lila when he made her throw a soda can in a 7-Eleven parking lot. The letters...
Are they still... dating?
Did they break up? So? I don't know. They didn't break up.
They just haven't seen each other in days?
I guess.
I mean, talk to each other in days?
I guess. I don't know.
Okay.
Oh, wait. Lila got the forged letter from Stephen after the soda can thing. So maybe she just, like, is avoiding him. Wait, no.
No, other way around.
Stephen got the forged letter from Lila.
Yeah.
So maybe he's avoiding her. She's been busy dealing with contractors.
Yeah.
Rebuilding her house.
Parents still are at home.
Yeah. The letter she had sent about their future together had really made him think. He had to tell Lila that it was over.
They just didn't want the same things.
Damn.
The problem was Stephen hadn't really figured out how to handle it yet. He had been biding his time, trying to come up with a gentle way to break it to Lila, but now it looked like he was going to have to face the music before he was ready. Stephen took a deep breath as he pulled open the door. Everything in him wished that he could ditch this meeting with Lila. I'm tired.
That's okay.
At the same time, he knew he couldn't keep avoiding her forever, particularly since he was still working on her case. Stephen bit his lip and headed down the main corridor towards the bathrooms. With every step, his heart sank a little further. Please don't make a scene, Lila, he prayed.
Jesus.
And for heaven's sake, don't cry.
Is he telling that to himself?
Yeah.
Keep together, Stephen.
Oh, yeah. That's funny. Lila sighed as she leaned against the wall outside the ladies' room. Any minute now, Stephen would come around the corner. He of the little house and barbecue grill.
Oh!
He of the little house and barbecue grill, Lila thought, curling her lip. What on earth will I do if he suggests a date or tries to kiss me?
Bye.
Lila folded her.
He of the little house and barbecue grill. So sayeth thou.
Lila folded
her. Oh, that sounds so terrible.
I know, right?
Yeah, right?
That sounds like us.
Yeah.
I like that about you.
Aw.
You grilled for me tonight.
I did. It was really good.
Yeah. Lila folded her arms and stared at the floor. She wanted nothing more than to run away, to get on a plane and head for some tropical island, maybe see her parents again. She watched a couple pass, laughing and swinging their clasped hands. She longed to be as carefree as they were.
Oh my God.
I can't even leave town until I'm cleared of charges. The tropical island is out, she thought wistfully. She's kind of hilarious.
Yeah, I love also, I love like people in this book, like people that are currently in high school or 1 year out of high school. And they're like, God, I wish my life was simpler like when I was in high school.
Yeah. But Stephen, I remember being in high school and dating someone I didn't want to date and thinking, like, I guess I'll have to marry him. I guess this is the rest of my life now. Oof. I'm 17. It's decided. There's no way out.
Yeah, to be fair, when you're in high school, when you're like 16, 17, everything does seem like the end of the world.
Yeah.
Like everything seems like the most.
Everything's so serious.
So serious.
You have no perspective.
No. Yeah.
And we couldn't even go to tropical islands.
No.
Even if we weren't on probation.
I've never been to a tropical island.
They're pretty nice.
Yeah. Highly recommend.
That's what I hear. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We haven't been in...
10 years.
10 years.
11 years.
I'd like to go get shit-faced on an island.
It's nice.
Like once.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just drink rum on a beach.
Yes.
Under an umbrella so you rum. Don't die. Not rum. That's what you do.
No, I can't have liquor.
Oh.
The gout.
The gout. Maybe the sun would cure your gout. Is that a thing?
That sounds like something doctors would have thought in like the 1870s.
It's worth a shot.
I would have made a great doctor 200 years ago.
Oh, boy.
I mean, you know, for scientific purposes, it's worth some research.
Yeah. I mean, how can you rule it out if you haven't tried it?
And by research, I mean just going and doing it without researching.
Yeah.
Of course. Chris, it's your page.
Oh.
I'm so sorry.
Where
to tell
did I
you.
Leave off?
I don't know.
Stephen is the only one.
Okay. Stephen is the only one who truly believes in me and will help me clear myself of charges. I have to be grateful to him for that, no matter what I think of his idea of the perfect future. Still, Lila knew it was time to tell Stephen how she felt. It wouldn't be fair to stay with him any longer. Jessica had been right all along. She and Stephen were a horrible mismatch. Lila only hoped he wouldn't be so angry and hurt that he would drop her case. She still needed his help.
I can't believe their plans work.
Because of the whole arson thing.
I feel like it's about to fall apart immediately.
That's true. I hope it does.
I think they're both going to be way too chill about breaking up, and the other one's going to be like, wait, what?
Wait, what? Yeah, exactly.
Lila looked up and saw a figure advancing toward her. There was no mistaking the way those broad shoulders swung slightly when he walked, the way his head was held high, and that slightly defiant thrust of his chin. The moment of reckoning with Stephen had
finally
come.
That does not sound like the Stephen I know.
No.
That sounds way more confident.
Yeah.
Lila twisted her hands as the knot in her stomach tightened.
End of chapter.
Oh, shit.
Bump, 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 bump,
bump. I did a Lost thing that time.
I feel lost.
Yeah. Boy.
Boy.
Only three notes again.
Girl.
This book really slowed down.
This book is really the middle book of a trilogy.
It really is. God damn.
That was such a, I don't know if this is a compliment or an insult.
Yeah.
Because it is. It's an accurate statement. But it's like, is that bad or good?
Is that Lila at the top of Chris's background? That's gotta be Lila.
I don't.
She well, looks that's like a brunette bitch.
That's Elizabeth. That's Jessica. That's probably Lila. And that, yeah. What the fuck is Elizabeth's friend's name that I can't
Enid,
remember?
I think.
Enid.
Yeah, that's probably she looks Enid. Like an Enid.
Yeah.
More importantly, can you find your boyfriend in time for the big date?
Oh, man. I wish we had this
I
game.
I want that.
You want your boyfriend in time for the big date?
Yes.
Well, what is going to happen next time on Sweet Valley High? Fighting fire, fight fire with fire. This is, what does that title even mean? No one has fought fire with fire. Is there going to be another fire? Can there please be another fucking fire in this book?
Or just like something other than...
Or a fire. There hasn't been a fire in this book at all.
Yeah. The last book, for as far as we know, had two fires.
Yeah.
What the fuck? I thought this was going
to
be a lot
who
more
Who are we supposed to be mad at for picking this?
I guess ultimately me, but Katie is the one who picked this book. So really, it's
okay,
Katie's
so
fault.
Okay, so this Katie's is Katie's fault.
It's all Katie's fault.
Katie, if you're listening, the next time you see me, you can be mad at me for saying this, but fuck you for picking this book.
Katie, you fucked up.
I blame Jonathan.
You're off the podcast
don't
forever,
you
Katie.
Dare blame Katie.
Yeah, I love Katie.
And if you don't say anything, that's cool. That's cool. We'll just acknowledge that you're not going to get into public spats about our choices.
I want us to have like a who the fuck am I thinking of?
I don't know what you're going to say.
The rap battle that's currently happening, is it? It's with between Drake and someone.
None of us are cool enough to know who either of those people are.
You know who Drake is.
Drake and somebody, I don't know.
Drake and
I
someone are in a rap battle,
but,
or rap battle,
got,
a rap
you guys
fight.
Don't remember the other one.
I don't remember the other one.
It's Kendrick.
Oh. I mean, yeah.
And I know that, okay. And I'm not cool at
you
all.
You could have told me instead of yelling at me.
I could buy this game for $25.
Say what?
I could buy that board game for $25.
For $25?
From like a online Goodwill store.
Can't afford not to buy
Goodwill
that.
Goodwill finds.
Anyway, I don't even know why I brought up Drake and Kendrick's beef.
I truly don't either.
Yeah, that seemed like no.
It's really going to date this show in like 2 years.
Yeah.
It
could date this show in like 5 minutes. You know how fast these kids move now?
That's
it
true.
Probably it's made up blurred.
I was going to say, it's probably, no,
like
no
this.
One's made up. Drake is like a weird, gross pedophile guy, right? Isn't that his whole thing?
I don't fucking know. I don't follow that
his
shit.
Whole thing, he was in like Millie Bobby Brown's DMs when she was like 13.
Oh, yeah, no, I do remember that. But, yeah. And that was a while ago.
Well, yeah, that doesn't not make him a pedophile now.
Yeah, no, I'm saying, like, holy shit, like, I forgot about that.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a while ago.
Yeah, and she's not, like, the only underage girl that he was talking to.
I don't want to talk about Drake anymore.
I don't either.
We're so the gross. Podcast.
Somebody stop me, as the mask once said.
As the mask once said.
Thank you for listening to Below Grade Level. You can follow
the height of comedy.
You can follow us. Oh boy. Just follow us and stuff. CactusRodeo.com/podcast. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram and subscribe. Subscribe and follow Below Grade Level and our other shows, The Sketchy Show and CD Reads, to listen to more of us being funny. Yeah, I hope more fun things happen. If nothing else, we got a couple of good guests coming up, so
yeah.
Our friends will help us through.
Yeah.
Yes.
We're going to have fun.
We'll have fun. You'll have fun listening. Anyway, we love you. Bye.
Bye.
And if you don't have fun listening, guess what? We're not stopping. We're going to keep going. Only to piss you off.
Do this for me.
Below Grade Level is a Cactus Radio production. You can contact us at podcast@cactusrodeo.com. Subscribe and follow on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify, and follow Cactus Rodeo on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for more entertainment and updates.
Standing next to one thing is for sure, you can be sure of nothing. Lots of gossip going round about this one, that one. Not too many secrets left in the world.